afternoon, everybody, and welcome to That's Life with Mark Snyder. You're listening to the PMP Network and also 1410 AM WMSX in Brockton. And we have a couple of very interesting guests today. Violinist Malcolm Watson is with us. He's the barefoot violinist. Listen to this, folks. This is a little background on Malcolm Watson. And then I'll tell you about our second guest. Who performs concerts in his bare feet. He claims that his tootsies are receiving messages from long-dead musicians. British-born barefoot violinist Malcolm Watson claims he can spiritually communicate with dead musicians simply by performing without shoes or socks. Watson received his first ghostly music lesson about 7 years ago when he spontaneously kicked off his shoes during a concert. Now he claims his bare feet have become radio receivers to the spirit world, which conveys musical tips from famous musicians. Although Watson claims his playing has improved by leaps and bounds since he began his barefoot experiences and performances, he admits dealing with sore feet isn't always a kick in the pants. We'll talk to him in just a moment. Then we're going to talk to the lovely, the adorable Susan Powder. Stop the insanity! She'll be with us in the second part of today's show. Let's say hello right now to Malcolm Watson. Hi, Malcolm.
Good morning. Hello, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Is that an accurate piece that I just read?
Somewhat, yes. They tend to, expand on it somewhat. It's not like I get exactly emails from these guys, but it's fairly accurate, yes.
They'd be called the F-mails, foot-mails.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now, what you do is when you perform, do they kind of send you songs? Is that how it works?
No, not so much songs, rather more communication.
So, for instance, have you talked with Elvis at all?
No, not Elvis. They've been, the main guy that sort of has come through has been a guy called Nikolai Paganini, who was a very famous violinist in the late 17, early 1800s.
Hmm. Have you checked the violin? Maybe it's in the violin.
No, it could be, actually.
It could be a haunted violin.
I hadn't thought of that. I do play some very beautiful, very old violins.
You mentioned in your press kit here, now again, I don't know if you wrote this or not, but it says that you are a cross between Mick Jagger and John Travolta.
Well, do you know, I didn't write that. I was actually performing for Deepak Chopra, the big guru guy, about 6 weeks ago. And his master of ceremonies got up, and they were so astounded, and he went, "Oh, my goodness." And he does that. And he said, in fact, he is what he said. This guy is a cross between Yehudi Menuhin, John Travolta, and Mick Jagger.
Mm.
So, no, I did not originate that.
I was wondering, because I couldn't see the resemblance. Maybe it was just my eyesight or something.
No, I certainly don't really look like them.
Oh, I see.
In fact, if you look at paintings of Paganini, I look very similar to the way Paganini used to.
Really?
Yes.
So you're a Paganini clone?
It would seem a little bit like that, yes.
Mm. Now, here's something else that I thought was interesting. Sarah, listen to this one. This is interesting. It says in this thing here, he can improve your sex life. Women swoon to the ascended masters. Women cannot be seduced in the bedroom without Malcolm Watson and the ascended masters being present. So you actually stand in people's bedrooms and play?
Well, no, I must admit, I haven't done that.
That's what it says on your
So it sounds rather a curious thing to do, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I mean, I was going to invite you over to it with the wife and have you play a little tune for us.
Well, it is amazing. I get the most amazing communications and letters from ladies who maintain that that they don't go to bed without my music going.
Gentlemen should be on guard as they are going to have their hands full with impassioned, desiring women, as the barefooted violinist will light up their ladies' hearts.
Ooh. Well, there does seem to be some strong realities on that one, Mark.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's quite fascinating that the ladies that come up to me when I'm, at concerts and things that will let slip sort of stuff like that.
So you have all these groupies, violinist groupies?
A few.
Wow.
A few, but I must admit, normally they want to have my romantic music and go back to their own husbands and things. So I feel that I'm rather more, that I add considerably to the quality of that area of their life.
Tell me a little bit about you. Where are you from originally? Obviously someplace in England.
I grew up in London, in England.
Yeah. And
studied at won a full scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music when I was 15. And was very much slated to sort of become a top classical soloist. But actually, we had always more interest in jazz and pop, so we sort of started getting more into that kind of music when I put out a couple of albums with CBS in my early 20s. It was very sort of Crosby, Stills, and Nash-like, you know, vocals, 12-string, and violin.
Yeah.
And as I say, I've always played since, I've always been playing electric violin, so it makes it quite a lot different.
Hmm. So, now when you were growing up, what were some of the influences? Was it all classical influence you had, or did you ever listen to pop music or rock or anything like that?
Pretty much. You know, especially... Because you see, when I grew up was in the 50s.
Yeah.
And you had this very strong, like when I went to the Royal Academy of Music, to be able, if you said jazz, they'd probably expel you. whereas now they've got one of the best jazz departments in the world, funnily enough, isn't that funny?
Mm.
But when I was a kid, I mean, that was not considered serious music. But yes, I adored jazz, and I was always secretly going off and listening to jazz as a young kid.
But you weren't playing it at all, though?
Not very much, because there was, you see, when I was growing up, the only guy around was Stefan Grappelli.
Mm.
He was the only one. Jean-Luc Ponty came along a bit later.
Yeah. Now... what about, you know, you mentioned the 50s. In the 60s, of course, the Beatles came around and changed the face of music.
Didn't they just?
Did that affect you in any way? Did you begin?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely adored the Beatles. Always, always.
Yeah. Did you ever play any of this stuff at all?
Yes, you know, I've done it. You know, as a musician, you can't help but do some of their stuff. What was it? Yesterday was always a great one of theirs for the Beatles.
Yeah, that's the most played song they ever did.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so over 800 versions of that song have been cut on records.
They've got to be, haven't they?
Yeah, it's amazing. I always wondered about that, though, growing up in London, if you could avoid the Beatles. I guess not.
Oh, no way. No way they became an absolute, what would one say? They were it.
Now, where the people at the school you went to, did they look down on rock and roll and the Beatles and things like that?
Oh, utterly, absolutely. It was considered non-music, which, as I say, is funny because now they actually have changed their attitudes. But back in the 60s, yeah. Oh, yeah. If it wasn't pure, straight classical, then it wasn't really considered music.
Mm. Do you write your own music?
Absolutely.
When did you start writing?
I guess I started writing about 10 or 12 years ago. Well, no, that's not true. In my 20s, I also, with the recordings we did with CBS. So, I mean, typically, about 60% of my music is original, sort of jazzy kind of stuff. And then the other, like, 40% is classical pieces. But even then, I've most times rewritten the violin part. Or sometimes there has never been a violin part.
Hmm.
Like I noticed earlier, you played a little bit of Romance,
mm-hmm.
called the Spanish piece, which was written about 150 years ago. But it was written for guitar with no violin part.
So you adapted it.
So I wrote the violin part.
Mm-hmm.
Goes with that.
Have you ever written a song with lyrics?
No, I'm not a great... I hear lots and lots of melodies, but I'm not into lyrics.
Mm-hmm. When you said you hear lots and lots of melodies, is that how you write? I mean... Something comes in your head and you write it down?
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. It's quite amazing. You know, you just hear, like I'll hear some sounds around me and it'll like, oh, and then suddenly I'll hear this melody line, you know, starts to come out. And then I'll have to work on it. You know, it isn't totally just suddenly there.
Yeah. Do you carry around a tape recorder with yourself so you can kind of...
No, I tend to remember the stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
How many songs have you estimated you've written so far?
Oh, let's see, 60, 70.
Yeah. And they're all published by the same company?
Yes. They're published by Goldzone, a publishing company called Goldzone Publications, and then currently recorded with Eccentric Recordings.
Mm. Do you still remember the first song you ever wrote?
Let's see. Yes. What was it called?
Was it kind of basic stuff?
Yeah, it was. God, that was so long ago, Mark. God. You know, I can't remember. I can, like, hear it in my mind a little bit.
Mm. Is that the only instrument you play, violin?
I can sort of get around a little bit on the piano. When you do something like study it at the Royal Academy, they make you play the piano as well, but I never could get the piano down. I am brilliant at the violin, but I'm not very good at anything else.
Talk with Malcolm Watson. I want to talk to you a little bit about the CDs we have here, and also a little bit about music in general, and websites and the internet and things like that.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a little break, listen to some more music of Malcolm's, and we'll come back with more of That's Life right after this.
Excellent. Thank you.